Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm really pleased to welcome Samantha Morris. Purser Samantha Morris, but you are currently not working. You've taken a little bit of a break, but how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Taking a little break. It's nice to take some time out for myself, finally. You know, 10 years of being at sea, and it's the first career break I've taken, so it's scary to do things just for myself, but it's nice.
Well, it sounds like it's about time, for sure.
Like 10 years constantly at sea, and then it's the first time taking a break just for myself. So yeah, it's nice to be able to wake up in the morning and just do things all by myself. And
for you alone.
Yeah, for me, yeah. It's also a struggle as well. I've been being so used to being a fast-paced job all the time, and then it's like you're looking in my diary and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do today? Oh, like there's nothing there, you know. So it's like, oh, what do I do? Panic.
I've interviewed you in the past, and we've also had other people on Yachting International Radio interview you. The reason I wanted to bring you on today is something that really pops out to me with you is you're talking about mental health. I think you and your father did not too long ago do something to raise awareness for mental health. What was that?
I watched the Hevelin Striding Ridge in the Lake District. Having come off the boat and done no exercise for over a year and a half, and basically I came home, dad said, let's do it while the weather is nice. So we just booked it, we went on the Friday, and we didn't really know what we're getting ourselves in for. Although my dad did it when he was younger, he doesn't remember it being so strenuous. And I remember like going up the, as I was climbing up the mountain, my groin area was aching as I was walking up the mountain. But you know, as we were doing it for mental health awareness, not like we could turn around and go back. I had a lot of sponsors sponsoring me to do the whole thing, so it just kept on going. Dad was at the top going, come on, like this. And I thought, if I get to my dad, we can sit down and have a rest. As I got to him, he got up and carried on walking.
Dads are great motivators, aren't they?
He's like, we had so many hours to get through it before it became dark. And he's like, I couldn't have you sit down for such a long time. So come on, carry on going.
Well, let me ask you, why is mental health something that is so important to you? Why is this an issue that you feel needs to have more awareness brought to it?
I feel like there's so many people, especially at sea, but I mean also mental health exists on land, but there's so many people at sea that are suffering with issues, but they're too scared to talk to anybody. There's a lot of stigma as well around mental health. People think if you talk about mental health, then you're crazy, you need to be locked up, or you're suicidal. And it's not always as severe as that. Sometimes people just need somebody to talk to.
Have you had your own struggles with mental health?
Yeah, I would say. Maybe I always suffered with some kind of anxiety. I mean, whenever I was frequent flyer, obviously we've been 10 years at sea, but whenever I was going to the airport, I was always panicking my luggages were going to be overweight, that I always used to make my parents drive me to the airport and come with me while I check in. So if I was overweight, then they could take the things home rather than we have to throw it in the bin, you know. Like now, as time goes on, I realize these things that you've just packing in your suitcase, they're just materialistic things. And if you get to the other side now and you've had to throw some of your toiletries out, you can buy it the other side anyway. On yachts, it's provided for you anyway, so it's not such a big deal. But I'd say more so in the last probably since being on board, like last year, that yeah. And being on board for 7.5 months, I honestly thought that it not really affected me or anything whilst being on board. But when I came home and I had 5 months vacation, I had a few job interviews when I was home. Dad said I had a job interview in January. He said I was a nightmare to live with for 3 weeks because I was just so in this fight and flight mode, like so anxious, wanting to know whether I'd been given a job. I always want to be, I would love, having been on a previous job like for 3.5 years, I always want to leave a job in the correct way. So I always want to be able to give a 30 days notice period and would expect the employer to do the same. But we know it's not always black and white. So as the time was limiting down where I weren't able to give like a 30 days notice period, and my body was in this like fight and flight mode, like I'm suffering like fear because I can't be, I can't give a full month's notice and honour my contract. So I think that when I was worrying when I was home last about being home in the UK and being stuck home in the UK, and have been, you know, we have the Seafarers National Seafarers Tax Deduction, 100% deduction if you're out of the country for more than 183 days. So I spend a lot of the time worrying that I wouldn't be able to get back on board, or that my relief, she wouldn't be able to get home to South Africa. Then I was worrying that I was going to be in the UK for too much time and then be taxed on the earnings that have been taxed. So I say that for 5 months vacation, I spent most of that time worrying about what may happen and overthinking situations. So probably when I originally got my join date to join back on board, even though I had to fight for that because I didn't want to remain home unpaid, when I was going back initially, I was anxious. I just had 5 months vacation from work. Like, I was anxious to go back to work and not knowing the restrictions.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's almost like you overthink a lot. You know, you are always sort of planning for the worst scenario when it doesn't necessarily, you know, tend to happen. And yeah, I don't think you're the only one. You know, when you're talking about yachting, especially, it is the type of industry where everything has to be perfect. Perfection is expected. So that isn't something that is unfamiliar to those that are watching and those that are listening, because you are always trying to anticipate. And that is your job, is to anticipate what issues may arise, when they may arise, or how they may arise. You always have to be thinking about the worst case scenarios and be prepared in case they happen. One thing that you mentioned to me before we came on air was that during lockdown and during, you know, 2020, mental health was being really looked into. A lot of people were talking about it. It was being highlighted. But now that it seems yachting has taken off and people are working, it's kind of been kicked to the back burner again. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I feel it, not just in yachting and also in like the maritime industry. Obviously the cruise ships have also started to come back into play. And I think that everybody last year, because the world was not moving, everybody had more time and to talk about mental health and the well-being of crew on board. I mean, last year everyone was talking about the crew change crisis, which is still going on, but people, they don't talk about it as much because now it's a revenue building. Obviously sometimes if it's a private yacht, then obviously you're not making revenue on there, but like as the boats are getting back into chartering, or like the cruise ships are going back into service, it's more about generating revenue. And yeah, there's some of my ex-colleagues, they mentioned on the cruise ships that they're not allowed to go from the cabin to the work and then to the mess to eat and then back to the cabin. They're not allowed to inter-socialize into the cabins. So which were last year when we was locked down on board, I was with 31 crew members, but fortunately at least we were allowed to mix with each other, and that was our bubble. Like your six people at home, 31 crew members was your bubble. So there's lots of crew that are going on board isolating and then going straight into guests, but not able to socialize with their colleagues or step foot ashore. And it's playing a big factor on mental health, you know.
I guess the need to interact with one another. I mean, as human beings, we have an innate need to interact and to speak and to talk and to even have just some human contact. That almost seems draconian, really, to not be allowed to do any interacting at all.
Yeah, because I would say that last year, even though it was through unfortunate circumstances, was one of the best contracts that I've had on board, because we all did mix with each other. We were all each other's support bubble. We was all making sure that each and everybody was okay, you know, and not that they're just fine. We were creating activities like quiz nights, MasterChef, you know, games nights, just things, movie nights, things to make sure that people were not just confined from work and go into the cabin, because then we get this cabin fever and irritable and, you know, but then there's also, you can be in your own cabin if you want, if you don't want to socialize, there'll be some nights that you don't want to socialize. But I think it was the best contract where all the crew have come together and, you know, form like the family, that we're all away from our own family's home. But yeah.
Do you think that there are ways that, you know, the maritime industry, not just in yachting, but in cruise ship as well? I mean, there is two prongs, because really, if you've got happy crew, you've got happy guests. If you've got unhappy crew, you have unhappy guests. And I think the whole name of the game within the industry, the maritime industry, when you are talking the guest experience, is making sure guests are happy. How do you think that cruise ship owners and yacht owners, yacht charter owners, can make sure that the mental health of their crew is well looked after, and to maintain, you know, a better environment for them, considering what we are dealing with in today's day and age?
Well, recently, in January, I did the mental health first aid course. I think that employers should look into more, like, investing into, they can do the mental health awareness for, like, the junior level crew, and then maybe for the senior officers to do the mental health first aid. But sometimes, you know, like, a junior crew might not feel comfortable to come and speak to me as purser, because they may find that I'm too far up the chain, or also maybe they will find another member of crew at the same level that they feel more, it might be a cabin mate, it might be a colleague that they're working closely with each day, to, you know, to be able to speak to them and offload what they see. I just think that as a seafarer, we're built to be like resilient people. We're working together in a small environment. We have lots of situations thrown at us. We're supposed to be adaptable to change. We don't have the time for a sick day. We don't have the time for an emotional bad day. Like, you're working constantly, and you're working like 7 days a week, especially if you've got guests on board. And as you say, our guests are our main focus, not ourselves and our colleagues. But we also, I mean, myself, I also have time for my colleagues. But in that, something's got to give. So sometimes when I'm on board, I neglect the time for myself because I'm trying to give to everybody else. And that's obviously why now I take the break.
So, I mean, when you're talking about this mental health first aid course, the cost isn't any more than any other course that you possibly could take when it comes to yachting or you know, being on board a cruise ship, is it?
I would have to work. I think it works out per person, so I'd have to speak to a provider. And
but it's pretty much.
But it's probably less than your full package of SDCW. So,
when you're talking about then, that benefiting not only the crew, but then as well the guest experience, that actually makes you more money in the long run. If we are talking about the cruise industry, or, you know, the seafarers period, that will make you more money in the long run, because you're going to be dealing with a happy crew. The happy crew will create a happy guest experience, which means that those guests are going to want to come back time and time again. If you have an unhappy guest experience, you will never see them ever again, which means that you've lost money. So wouldn't it just make sense if you're just talking, if you don't even really care about your crew, but you care about money, then wouldn't it just make sense to invest that little bit of money into making sure that the mental health of your crew is looked after in order to continue to make the money that you want to make?
Yeah. And last week I had a meeting with somebody that has some connection to the UK government. Myself, I'm working in collaboration with another captain, and we spoke to this this gentleman about, we give an idea. So the UK government, they know exactly every single UK seafarer because we're all issued with seafaring discharge books. So a lot of the times, seafarers, they don't know which way to turn. So, you know, when they want to talk to somebody, maybe they don't want to bring it to anybody on board on the yacht, the cruise ship. They want to speak to somebody like an external helpline. And not everybody knows all the important numbers that they can ring. And so we made a suggestion that for every seafarer's discharge book that they issue, like a mental awareness pack, maybe like a small credit card that you can keep inside your wallet with all the important telephone numbers on. So we're waiting for some feedback from that, but we've not got it. Takes some time. I can imagine it takes some time to with the government. So we're just waiting for some feedback on that.
It's a shame that nobody ever thought about doing something like that earlier, because it's something so simple. You know, when we are in, and I have suffered from anxiety and depression in my life. And when you're in that state, the last thing that you think of is going online, searching out a phone number, or, searching out a person that can help you, or this. It's, you're in the depths of the despair. So if that is right in front of you, and you're used to seeing that every single day, that's imprinted. So it's so much easier to make that decision. But yes, you are right. Dealing with the government, it may take a little bit longer than, those of us normally would take. But, it's a good step in the right direction.
And we was in hope that, because obviously ratifying the STCW takes a long time. So it was in hope that if it's something that the UK government promote, then maybe other governing bodies will take on the same initiative. So it'd be more global.
Well, all it takes is one, right? Once you've got one on board, then it's easier to get the rest. It's getting the first one on board that takes the time and trouble. Yeah. Samantha, is there any way that anybody can help you in your fight towards making mental health an issue within the maritime industry?
Yeah, I mean, of course, that's what I was saying to you earlier on before in the conversation. Since I've come home, I've been trying to be on every webinar for somebody that is trying to promote mental health in maritime. Obviously, I've given myself an extremely large task, and I've had to take a stand back from it a little bit at the moment, because again, it was making me I wasn't giving myself the time to relax that I need and able to help others. So just anybody, if anyone can reach out, anyone can give me an avenue, if I can become an ambassador for anyone to promote mental health, just needs, like you say, just needs one yes. And I'm very enthusiastic about it. Obviously, people, they say that people that are pushing this mental health awareness into the industry, people that have suffered with it before, people that have never suffered with it before may not understand as much how it is. So yeah, I just need one or two openings, and let my creativity idea flow. Just anyone that can help.
Well, you know what? We're going to make sure to include every single one of your details that you provide us with underneath this interview when it airs. And I would encourage anybody that, perhaps you're struggling with your mental health, or perhaps you are a captain or yacht management and you are looking to implement a better program on board, to contact Sam and find out sort of what avenues you can take to make sure that your crew is a healthy crew. Because as I said previous, a healthy, happy crew makes for a better environment for everyone involved. And so you're only as good as the people that you work with. And I would suggest people get a hold of Samantha. Samantha, I thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you, Ria. It's always a pleasure.
Once again, you've been listening to Purser Samantha Morris in her chat about mental health and where we need to take things in the future. I encourage you to get a hold of her. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.